Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Steve Harvey is ridiculous. American Idol returns. Will Ryan Seacrest? Who cares? Miley Cyrus and Paris Jackson reemerge in Hollywood. We look at E's Second Wives Club. And guest co-host Jen Leone gives us an inside look at TMZ. That and more. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by my friend, host, Jen Leone.
Hello. Good to be here.
Yes, good to have you on the rants. I'm excited to do this show. This is a historic one.
Yeah, I'm hearing. I love it. I love everything new you have going on.
Thank you. You know, Jen's been very patient. We've been setting up the show because I have new microphones here. And, you know, it's probably maybe you could notice a huge difference listening. Maybe you don't. But it's taken some getting used to. It's also the first show that I'm doing with Blog Talk Radio, which is a syndicated service that had found the show and asked me to, like, bring my show to them, and we did a lot of research and back and forth, and now my show will be featured as a prime host over on Blog Talk Radio.
Yay!
So, yes. And with that comes some advertising that you'll hear throughout the show, so please bear with me. As I've mentioned before, I am looking to kind of cover the costs with Grant's Rants, so that's a great addition and shouldn't get in the way of the programming. And, you know, all these changes were things that have taken a long time, and I was going to upgrade the microphones, and there's another thing I'm working on coming up that will kind of switch up the show and make it a little more enhanced. So there's a lot more coming, so just stay tuned.
Yay! Yes.
So I'm excited nonetheless to get into the rants. And right off the bat, I'm already angry with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yep.
Steve Harvey released this letter, and at this point it's been everywhere, and it's the letter to his new staff. You know, he's moving the show to Los Angeles.
Right, right.
And so this is what he has to say. I'm not reading the whole letter because I'm not giving him the time. But here's what he has to say, part of it. He said, there will be no meetings in my dressing room, no stopping by or popping in, all caps, no one. Do not come into my dressing room unless invited. Do not open my dressing room door, all caps again. If you open my door, expect to be removed. I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. Do not approach me unless I ask to speak with you directly. Do not attempt to walk with me. I'm paraphrasing some of this. I mean, this is real, but it's just not in this, you know, this, I'm taking out bits and pieces
right,
of it all.
Right.
And at the end, he says, it is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Well, Steve, I certainly hope that everything goes smooth on your new show, because if you don't allow communication, and, you know, people have to get to you. Aren't you the executive producer? I mean, unless if you don't want to receive that credit.
Right. Unless you're just a host.
Yeah.
And you're the talent.
Yeah.
AKA diva.
Yeah. Unless if you don't want to receive the money that comes along with being an executive producer, then maybe you should. Would he elect to remove himself from that too?
Right. Right. You know, the first thing that I thought of was, what if a woman wrote this?
Oh, true.
You know, like Oprah.
Could you imagine if this leaked and it was Oprah?
I mean, what would happen?
Right.
I think there's such a double standard. And, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm really not. I've heard things about Steve Harvey, and I worked a little bit at NBC5 in Chicago, which shared the building with him. And it was just, he was across the way. And I've seen some things and heard some things and made some friends with people who made some comments that were similar to something like this. And I'm not surprised.
I never cared for him. I always thought that I don't like people that are humble. And he comes across, like, I listen to his radio show, the Steve Harvey Morning Show, and he tries to be this relatable guy, but then he makes up these statements and these things that are just so backwards.
Mm.
And I think he can get away with it because he has speaking to a limited audience on radio.
Oh,
and
okay.
I feel like he feels very entitled, like all the stuff. I mean, there's a whole article on E. They have put out an article. As according to them, they said, here's Steve Harvey's most controversial moments. And I've just listed a few that stuck out to me. Of course, we all remember Miss Universe 2015.
Right.
Very stupid.
Oh, that was, and the way he handled it, you
horrible.
Know. You're right.
Horrible. So. Then he spoke out against atheists. He said, a woman should not go out with a man who doesn't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, then you're an idiot.
Well, then what about reversed? So a man can go out with a woman who's an atheist because it doesn't matter her beliefs, right?
There was another thing about, like, there's a lot of stuff about back and forth between what men can do that women can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said that men, he liked this. He said that men can cheat because women are willing to cheat with them. So that just gives a pass to the man, I guess, because the woman is ready.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Great. Because the woman is just a body and not a brain.
Yep. He met with Trump, and, you know, there's nothing terribly wrong with that. But I will say he went on a complete smear campaign for months, including that week, the 7 days before the election in November. Because I listen to that show in the morning on the drive-in sometimes when I can handle it. And that show is very cheaply put together. Anyway, I will say it's a lousy show. It makes Grant's Rants look like, you know, we've got like a budget of $10,000 an episode. But anyway, I will say that he had everybody that he could speak out against Trump and promote Hillary. And he said horrible things against Trump and his family and his sons. But yet he's the first one to meet with him for whatever reason once he was president-elect. Well, that's, you know, what's your word worth?
Right. Exactly. I feel like he would just be one of those types of people who goes wherever the people want him to go and wherever looks nice for a picture.
Yeah. Well, and then the last thing, of course, the breeding ground for ignorancy, the set of The View, the worst.
Breeding ground.
He said there isn't a real man alive that cannot live without a woman. And then they said, well, what about gay men? Gay men can live without a woman. He said, I'm speaking about real men.
How in the... I'm trying not to swear, Grant, out of, you know, just respect for you, but put in a lot of bleeps here. I just feel like this is ridiculous. Like, it's just constantly one thing after another that someone's able to just talk like this and never get any repercussions at all.
It's a horrible statement to make. I mean, he's so ignorant. So with that, I must award you the Sherry Shepherd Award.
Ta-da!
Announcing the recipient for the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
I love that. This is so overdue for him. I mean, you know, I don't even care if it comes across as mean. I mean, like, he's so ignorant with the stuff that he says. In fact, he's so ignorant he doesn't know how to say it. On his morning show, he calls people ignorant.
Does he?
Yes.
Huh.
But yet, when he's on television, he's very polished on his show. So it's all an act, you know? I mean, I never cared for Steve Harvey.
Like I said, wherever people want him, he will go into that direction. Whatever looks nice, sounds nice for whatever audience he thinks he has.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Moving right along, looking at American Idol. Now, I'm a huge proponent of reality TV. Nobody wants to get back to the heyday of reality TV than me. I mean, we're working with Mama June from Hot Tonight. I mean, we're working with, like, you know, season 30 of Survivor.
Oh, wow. You know that show's still on?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm exaggerating. I don't know how many seasons it is. Maybe it's over 30 at this point, but it's just too many to count.
Right.
So I need, like, there to be a resurgence. And, you know, American Idol has been off the air since 2016. So it literally hasn't even been a full season year that the show's been dead. And so now ABC picked it up, and they had this moment on Good Morning America where they announced it, and they had Robin Roberts make a big deal, and you could just tell the energy in the room was like, sure, I guess. Like, we secured American Idol, and like, that would be great if it was 2002.
You know the thing is I think someone in charge is obviously older because everyone wanted American Idol. It was Fox's golden ticket, and then everyone had to follow. Their ratings were unbelievable. And it's so funny that you said it was done in 2016 because, to be honest, I thought it was done way longer than that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge fan of the show. My cousin was on it, made top three. And for me, that was like a huge thing for us. And after that, it was just kind of over. We were like, okay.
Yeah. Out of your system.
Yeah.
Which was your cousin for those who love American Idol?
Yeah. Haley Reinhart from season 10. Okay. And she is amazing. Just amazing. Yeah. And not because she's my cousin, but.
Yeah, no, good for her for taking advantage of such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And I know ABC is 90s really struggled with their music shows. They had one of them. I can't remember the name of it. Oh my God, I should know this. It was really bad. I think it did have Kelly Clarkson on it, but it didn't last like at all. It was their music competition shows just don't work. But whatever. I mean, no one's asking for this. Mm-hmm. I have zero interest in keeping up with American Idol. ABC is struggling, especially on their mm-hmm. Sunday nights. I mean, they've still got that show on what is that show? The Neverland show? What is it?
Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time, yeah.
Isn't that canceled?
Oh, I think. Isn't it the final season?
I think it's the final season.
Well, it's mm-hmm. overdue. Overdue. So now with this American Idol talk comes the question, is Ryan Seacrest going to host? Again, who's asking for this? Like, is anyone like really that concerned?
No.
Who the host is going to be on the show?
I mean, I don't even think people would care. And I think the only way for American Idol, the new American Idol, to do well is to completely redo everything, which would mean redo the host. Maybe put a woman in there, maybe someone of color, just something that attracts someone else. Because you look at The Voice and it's so just, I mean, different. And there's so many different types of people. And it's, I don't know, I hear that it's more enjoyable to watch, and that's why American Idol went down.
Right, that's true. I mean, if you look at the two, that the Voice is definitely the far more superior show with quality and encouragement and the overall feel of it.
Right,
it's a totally different take on the old school competition show. Mm-hmm. American Idol is done. I was so glad because I was so tired of hearing about it.
I know, you know, right?
I was really, really
so over.
It.
Yeah.
So
the star was Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
And that's back when everyone really liked that negative energy and wanted to hear that because people weren't talking like that. You know, we had Hell's Kitchen, all of that was thriving. And now it's the complete opposite.
I know we're looking for embracing
and encouraging. Encouragement. Right.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, no, that's my how the tides have turned. So that's why it's like, what are they going to do with America? The feel good music show is The Voice. So
right.
What do we need American Idol for?
I agree.
But of course, Ryan Seacrest, he claims that he has no contract with them. Then other reports say that when he was put over on Live with Kelly, that was part of the agreement, and now he's going to deal with ABC. So I believe that. I believe that these agents go out there and they make deals.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
You know, the package deals to get, you know, there was more money involved, and it cements him at ABC, and it not only gives him a syndicated show, which is like tremendous money, as you know. But now he's got his deal with the late night Rock and Eve that he continues to do. Mm. And he's really becoming part of that ABC fold. Mm. And NBC has their folks that do a lot of the same stuff, you know, like they'll cover like, you know, the portfolio. And ABC is notorious for that. I mean, it's like all the same people across those networks.
Right. You know, so. I mean, in 2040, we're going to hear about the Ryan Seacrest late night show. You know, it's I just feel like that's the way that things go.
Yeah.
It's just, this is what you do. Oh, you host the Rocking Eve and then you move forward. Like, it's just the same thing.
What did you think of Ryan Seacrest as a pick for that show, Live with Kelly?
I immediately, when I heard Michael was leaving, I knew Ryan was going to fill the spot.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Only because Ryan isn't working. He's executive producer and he's doing all these shows. He has his radio show, but he's not actually on television. And I'm sure his people freaking out, and he's probably freaking out. And it was almost like perfect timing, but I was wondering if they would actually go that route because one, he's a man, and two, he's white. So that to me says, oh, that's too safe. I know that they wouldn't go that route, but they did. And it kind of shocks me that they did. I just thought of him instantly, though, that he would be that spot.
Oh, see, I really didn't pay too close of attention to the rotating guests hosts on that show. Mm. I thought Jerry O'Connell would be good on it because he's someone that could take on a show like that. He doesn't have that much going on. You know, I mean, I like him. But like, right. You know, Ryan, it's like, I mean, that must be a pain in the neck to try to coordinate schedules and being bi-coastal and all of this stuff. I mean,
I feel like he felt like he had to take that next big step. Think about just in a career point of view, if you're Ryan Seacrest and you've had this amazing career, and what's next for you?
Okay.
Has to be something that big. There's no other outlet, I'm guessing. You know, what do you do? Movies? that's not you.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
To do a syndicated show makes sense.
Right, yeah. Unless it's Good Morning America for him, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, rumors all over Page Six are saying that Kelly Ripa is really angry, that he's going to be jumping to American Idol, and she doesn't trust him, and she doesn't want to be left alone again. But then she's appearing and very encouraging on the air, of course. And, you know, eventually he will jump ship from the show. Doing this is just an introductory trip into ABC and syndicated TV.
I mean, stepping stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think she realizes that he's a hustler. She has to, everyone can see that he's working like a million different jobs and that he does a lot of different things. So she has to understand that, you know, that's the way that it's probably going to go. And she probably will be the anchor there for another co-host in the future. But
in my opinion, you know, their careers are so different. Kelly was an actress, moved into this cushy, amazing spot that,
so cushy.
I mean, everyone looks up to that position. Little girls everywhere want it, and it's not going to happen for you, but that's cute and all, because that's an amazing job. And then Ryan Seacrest comes in as a journalist. He's been working, we know his history. And
the red carpet.
Absolutely.
Yes, as a producer, yes.
All of that. So this is a stepping stone for him, where this is her home.
Right.
This is where she's staying, you know? And I wanted also to comment that the first thing that is always said about Kelly is she's so angry, or it's just this very negative view on her, someone who's such a light and someone who is very, I don't know, I think she's very transparent. And when Michael was going through this transition, she was really on it, and she didn't show up, and she was on strike, and she didn't speak. Take that however you'd like, but she didn't hold that in. I don't think that she would be holding it in about Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, no. And all their press, she said, this was like, I was part of the decision. This was a big decision.
Right.
Yeah, she seems genuinely excited to have him there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be, because I feel like he doesn't have that personal life to be able to comment on. You know, like they sit in those two tall chairs and they look at the news and they talk about what they did overnight and stuff like that. I mean, his life is working and his life now is going to be commuting, so it might not be as interesting.
Good point. So, good point on that.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't really know much about his life at home, if there is one.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think so, especially if you're going to be commuting. Like, you're kind of married to work at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the opposite of Kelly, who has kids and has been married forever. Like, so it's just two very different people. But I think the show will ultimately do good. The stuff that I've heard, though, is the people who love the show back in the day with Reed and all that, like, they're not interested in Ryan Seacrest.
See, that was me, though. I watched it every day. I got off school. That was what I watched, because I love interviewing and I love just that format. And I've always loved Regis. And I was like, oh, I watched it with Kathy, and watched it every day, though, when Kelly came on. And that was between like 2003 to 2007 when I watched it. And it was just so different.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know how it'll be with Ryan, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
I feel like I will definitely be different. I'm trying to think
I haven't really looked at it, but I haven't looked at that. I didn't look at that show at all when Strahan was on, so.
Yeah.
It's not on my radar, you know what I mean?
Right. I feel like Neil Patrick Harris would be fun.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
A woman, maybe.
Yeah. I almost feel like a gay man would really do well opposite Kelly, because she's so, you know, open and fun, and she vibes with them so well. And we see it on Watch What Happens Live and with Anderson and with, you know, like, so I feel like, you know, maybe someone like that would be somebody that would be like the minority checkbox that you mentioned, even if it was a white man.
For sure.
But yeah, but no, I mean, you know, Ryan will do his thing.
So yeah, we'll see.
Until things change, you know. I wonder how long that contract is.
Ooh.
Anyway, let's take a look at two girls that are really revamping the image that they've put out there or that they're trying to build. And it's interesting to look at Miley Cyrus and now Paris Jackson. We talked about Paris Jackson on the show not too long ago. She did an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, where it's the first real expose where they went to her house, which is at the Havenhurst Estate in Encino, and she lives there on her own, and she just kind of does her own thing. And it's interesting to see her emerge and who she'll always be in the public eye because of who she is and who her father is, but like to what degree and what will she be doing? I always was curious to see what those kids would grow up and do, if they would try to be in the business or do something completely different or create their own with the name that they have. But it seems like she is going to be making it big in the business with modeling and acting. She's only 19 years old, and so she's got her whole life ahead of her.
Absolutely. I think with her, it's I kind of saw it. I hate to say that I kind of predict the patterns, but she had two routes. It was the Lindsay Lohan 06 era where you just go crazy, or you can really go like Lily Depp, you know, Lily Rose Depp, who's just boom, boom, boom and killing it.
Yeah. Well, she did. I have a lot of respect for Paris Jackson because at a young, young age, I mean, she's considered young here at 19. She went to a special school in Utah to help her get past her addictions. She was severely depressed and dealt with a lot of mental illness issues. And she said that she deals with them on her own and she's not on a bunch of medication. And she just figures out how she can live her life best. And she, like you mentioned, like she didn't go the Lindsay Lohan route where she could have made a lot of wrong decisions that was created patterns for the rest of her life.
Or quick money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just, hey, let's go party. Let's do this. I'll do a appearance at a club and get paid however much. And then go, you know, you can do so many things here.
Yeah. I mean, this girl, you know, really, I don't know how she, I feel like she raised herself, you know. It's sad because in this article, there's an article in Page Six. I feel like we're always talking about Page Six on the show. Mm-hmm. But there's an article, it was a good article, actually. And it said that she has not been in contact with Catherine, who helped raise her, which was kind of sad. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like you need as many people around you as you can. But she has her brother around her, Prince, and he seems to be the level-headed one who's kind of guided her. And said that he worked at E as an intern at one point. Like, I'm dying to know if that's like current because I work in the same building. Like, you don't even know who you're running into. You know, I would never recognize him.
Oh no, I wouldn't either.
I'm so curious just to be like in the same elevator with him. Just so odd, but who knows? So he's been kind of managing her and telling her, you know, don't go the singing route because everyone will compare you to our father and there's just no comparison to Michael Jackson. So don't set yourself up for that. He said, you know, Lisa Marie Presley did a similar thing and she failed at it. And, you know, that's kind of her cross to bear. So you need to do something a little different. So she signed with these IMG models. IMG models does all the big names, right?
Yeah, yeah, it does. I think unless it's your passion, you should lay off singing, you know, unless it's something, you know, same thing with acting. There's just too much of it out there that it's like, we're over it. Unless it's, I mean, unbelievable, then we're not going to buy it. So she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She's thin. She has a name. She's a socialite. She's the daughter of a celebrity. What do you do? You're a model.
Yeah.
That's what Paris Hilton was. Yeah. You know, everyone, right. That's the first step, model.
Yeah. And it all goes back to nepotism, too. I mean, it's so easy to get for these girls to get these opportunities. But yeah, I mean, she's really going to be the new it girl, I think. I mean, again, 19. I mean, you know, she's got so much time. Imagine all that she can accomplish in the next 5 years. She's already booked a movie opposite Charlize Theron.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that Lee Daniels wants her for the maybe it already aired. I think it's coming up, but for a story arc and Star on Fox. So she's already got people's attention, and I like her a lot because she really overcame, like, the worst-case scenario.
She really did.
You know, so I have a tremendous respect for her.
Hopefully it's all uphill then, and I can't believe she's dealing with all these mental illnesses and all these things on her own.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really have anyone to lean on.
She really doesn't.
And I doubt she even had her father when he was alive,
I mean,
be real, you know?
Yeah. I mean, especially at that point, like, what issues was she dealing with at that age? You know, she was like a child. So, like, unfortunately, the way he passed was the worst time for her, too, because that's when you start dealing with addiction issues and, you know, you start learning more who you are versus just being a kid. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it seems that, according to this article, which I believe that Prince Blanket, who's now going by some new name, BG or Biggie or something. B-I-G-I. I don't know. Use your imagination. But so it says that the three of them like really look out for each other and that they're really tight and they're kind of in it together. You know?
Oh, that's good. Which at least they have each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they could hate each other and fight over money and fame. They could really go the dark route. So that's amazing for them. I don't think that we give those people, the people who get out of bad situations or possible bad situations, with enough credit.
Yeah, totally.
You know, ugh.
It's interesting that you mentioned they could be fighting over money because mm-hmm. it says that Paris is already dealing with the family about the other brothers and all those real desperate people in that family.
They're jealous,
they're manipulative, and they're money grabbers. And so that's what the article is saying, that she's learning all those qualities about them.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's finding out about her grandpa and everything that he did. I mean, he's not a great guy. No. So
how the hell old is Joe Jackson? That man has been around. That man has been around since the beginning of time.
He's a dinosaur.
When I think of like the Jackson 5 on TV as like little kids, I feel like that was like the birth of television.
It really was, though.
So how I'm looking it up now. Joe Jackson.
Age.
Oh, this is death.
Oh. Well, someone's assuming.
Yeah, someone's like, he's 88 years old. I thought he was going to be 98. If you told me he was 98, I'd completely believe you.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. But let's take a turn and look at another child star who's really kind of turning things around, Miley Cyrus.
Mm.
And she's, there's an article out about her and Billboard, and she's got new music that she's putting together. She's kind of calling it a DIY album. And she says that she's doing 2 hours of yoga a day, that she's sober from drugs, alcohol, and weed. And she says that by getting rid of weed, she wanted to get better and be more evolved, open, clear, and sharp. So I completely respect her for that.
Right. You know,
she said it was her decision.
See, here I go.
Go for it.
All right.
Go in.
I watch people's careers, and I love just seeing how people evolve, and I've been watching it for a really long time. And by really long time, I mean since I was a kid. That was my hobby. So even Angelina Jolie, just seeing people back then, how they evolved with marriages, you could see Julia Roberts. So when I see Miley Cyrus, and when she started to turn, I go, oh, I see. Because she was boring, and she was that Disney darling that we wanted to do so well. And there's a place for everyone. You know, let's say in a year that Katy Perry's popular, you will never hear a song from Miley Cyrus that year or wherever. You know, people pick and choose who they want to succeed in those years. So I'm watching Miley, and I see her being extreme, being crazy, doing all this stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
VMA days.
Yeah. Like riding the penis-shaped whatevers, you know, all this stuff.
The tongues.
The tongue. And I go, I wonder if this is just enhanced for this Bangers album. Okay. So that was all her heyday when all that was going on, and then Bangers. True. And then Bangers ended a little bit, and all of a sudden she has nothing. She's partying. She's not really seen out. She doesn't have new songs. And then all of a sudden she has a new album coming out. And what do? You change your image. So for me, I just think, okay, let's pretend like she was doing heroin before. Like she really cleaned up her life. Like all you have to do is put the weed away and you're good. Like, okay, I've cleaned up my life, guys. Now I'm back with Liam Hemsworth. So, you know, buy my new album. And Malibu, you know, Malibu sounds just like all of her songs from 2008 when she was doing, Song of the South, but Song of the Sound of the Sound or whatever with Liam. That's how she met Liam.
Okay.
But that was how her music started to sound, going from transitioning from Miley, from Hannah Montana to Miley. And, you know, you think about how Britney's evolved. She was that little girl. So what do you have to do? You have to do something shocking. Cue 2001 VMAs where she's half naked in the glitter that we love.
Iconic.
Oh, iconic.
The best.
But not everyone can be that sexy.
Right.
So what did she do? You know, I just feel like everything's super calculated, you know? And for me, this, I'm not buying it.
I get it.
I don't buy the new image. I don't think that she was ever that old image. I think she was just Miley. And she liked to smoke weed and experiment. And she was 20 like everyone else. And someone goes, oh, hey. Actually, I know her hairstylist. So I was going to say, hey, let's cut off her hair. But the real story behind Miley's hair is she told her stylist, Evelise, who I love, that she would not have her do her hair anymore and that her friend was going to just bleach it blonde and she wasn't going to cut it. She wasn't going to do anything. And then her friend almost made her bald, like fried her hair with this bleach. So she almost had to cut it that short. So publicists, I'm sure, are like, okay, how can we spin this into this? All right, this is what your image is, Miley. You're going to be this. And she's like, all right, I'm down with it. Let's talk about weed and sex. And, yeah, you know, that's what I think it is.
Right. I hated that time period with her because she was coming up with all these people that looked up to her. And so she was promoting, you know, drug use and just, you know, doing whatever you want and not giving an F and all that. And I was like, that's a terrible thing for a generation. Now what she's saying is people have to start giving an F because it's too serious. You know, life and the world that we live in now is just too serious. And I think that's a good message. But I mean, yeah, you're jerking people around when you're just like putting that out there one way. And then, you know, she even said like she had like a media blackout where she like disappeared. Mm-hmm. And now she's back as this new like of the earth bohemian doing yoga.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and then.
I mean, I'm happy for her though that she did detox. I'm really happy for her because I'm a big proponent of that. Like you have to get all that out of your life, especially if you're a creative type, because that will dumb you down and numb you and you won't be to your full potential as an artist.
That's very true.
Now, of course, there are many artists and very famous albums that have been written when people are on the most crazy of drugs.
But they also die at 27.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so either you have brilliant work for a small period of time, and then let's say that was brilliant back then, but if you try to do that now, no one's going to work with you.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, they just throw him out. Why work with him?
Right, right.
You know, some heroin addict. It's just, I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. Janis like, Joplin, like, you know, no one's going to work with you. Yeah.
That's true. I'm happy for Miley.
Great for Miley. Yeah. Sure.
You know, she's still gender fluid. And like you said, back with Liam, she says that she's an artist, you know, that she's really trying to make a point to be political, which I roll my eyes when I hear that, mainly with Katy Perry, because I'm like, she's trying to be political. And then she puts out this music video where she's like being like, rubbed in flour and like, did you see that music video?
I did not. Oh my goodness.
You know, she says one thing and then the music says a complete other. I don't know like what her deal is. Like we talked about Katy Perry 2 episodes ago on this podcast and we really kind of analyzed her and is it a stunt? Like what is her, you know, what is her deal? She denounced all the work that made her famous, which I have no respect for. I don't know what her deal is, but with Miley, I think that I can give her a pass because she is so young and she's trying to figure out who she is. And
right.
We have to see what happens next. But if, you know, if this next album that she's doing like a DIY, like I mentioned, if this flops and then she goes back to like, you know, writing a guitar on stage and like, you know, like lighting it up on screen and all that, then I'm like, all right, you're just trying way too hard to make it happen again.
Yeah. And she is a child of celebrity too. So she sees fast success. She got fast success when she was young.
Yeah.
I'm sure she doesn't take all of that well. That the negative anything. So we'll see.
Yes. We'll have to keep an eye on her.
I'm not a fan of Malibu, so I don't know what her second sound will be like, but we'll see.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, when we return, we're going to be talking with Jen about the Second Wives Club on E, and we're going to talk a little bit more to Jen about her experiences out here, her goals, and some fun, interesting stories. So we'll be back. And now word from our sponsor.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Jen Leone. We're going to be talking about the E! Second Wives Club.
Yes.
This, I guess, is E!'s take on The Real Housewives, just a little late.
It really is. And what was so funny is that I was interviewing these people on the red carpet at their preview or premiere. And I didn't think about it, but my first reaction and my first question to them was, how is this like similar to The Real Housewives, because to me, it was a housewife show.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, the wives is in the title.
Absolutely. And then I was like, wait, is this more of a play off of First Wives Club from 1996? Or mm-hmm. what is this? You know, and I that was my question. And they kind of didn't really know how to answer. And I was like, okay, well, is it like Bad Girls Club? Like, what are we getting with this show? And they're like, oh no, it's not that. And it's kind of like the anti-housewife show. That's mm-hmm. what these women said. And I said, well, how is that? And basically that they have their own things going on and that they have their own money. And I was thinking, I'm not seeing that, but okay.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
And yeah.
You know, if I had to like make a list of the differences, I would say that in comparison to something like The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, these women do have their own like pursuits where in their the storylines aren't necessarily based around like the fight of the week or like a gossip, you know, a piece of gossip that someone said that they have to confront them about. Where I feel like Beverly Hills is so one-noted or like just two storylines going on for 23 episodes. Mm. These ladies do have their own like side hustles, but then they have those moments where they have to get a gratuitous argument over a wedding invitation, and that's very housewives. Mm-hmm. So it's very nonsensical to me. I didn't really enjoy the show. I didn't expect to love it, but you know, I took my Saturday night and I didn't realize that there were two of them that have aired. I thought there was only one. And so to my surprise, I sat through 2 hours of it and it was just okay. To me, it's very hard at this point for me to get invested in another group of, well, not necessarily women, but people in general, like even with that, like we talked about this last week on the show, like the Abby Diaries or whatever that Abby show is. Like, I'm just not interested in getting into another group of people where I have to worry about the stakes of who's arguing with who and who's shading someone's past. Like, I feel like I'm good. I cover enough of the housewives. I watch a lot of reality TV. I've seen a lot played out. So to me, I've met my quota. Mm-hmm. With that, so
I agree.
To me, this show just doesn't really do much for me. That one girl, I will say, Katie, is funny, and I liked her a lot on the show.
Yeah.
She's the heart of that show. The others just, and I like Lorenzo Lamas. I always liked Lorenzo Lamas, so I like his wife, and she seems very real. But the rest of them are all, they all blend together to me.
Right.
They make a lot of it about that Shiva. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it, because she's married to, or not married, apparently, he won't get married. She's
engaged.
With Mohammed, Hadid, Yolanda, Bella, and Anwar, and the other one's father. But to me, I was like, okay, so I know of her, but I don't know her, so she's not enough for me to, she's not much of a draw for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about Shiva.
See, LVP has talked about her in the past, and Lisa Vanderpump, if people don't know, but yeah. I'm assuming they do.
In the show, yeah.
Well, she said, oh, I love Shiva out of all the people that Muhammad's been with, love Shiva. So I was excited to get to know her and excited to get to know these women because, you know, like you said, we get invested. And I'm willing to sign up for an e-show like most women my age will. But the thing is if you're not interesting, you're just not interesting and the camera's going to pick up on that. I hate to say it, but Shiva doesn't really have a personality. And you can tell right away, yeah. Really. I mean, I don't know if she's she might have a personality and she's just kind of blocking that off. She's being very guarded. But even interviewing her, it was like talking to a brick wall. And,
wow.
Oh, yeah. And I even cut it short because I was like, okay, thank you. Have a nice day. Because I would rather talk to Katie, who's going to sit there and laugh with me and tell me how she was sleeping in her car and how she was literally right across from the W and how she looks at the W now where her business is and was like, hey, this is me coming up and now I'm marrying this man, Walter, and he is the one and she doesn't want to have kids and she's not afraid to be herself. Outspoken, where Shiva hasn't really said much.
Yeah.
And they want her
totally
to be they want her to be the star.
Yeah, you can tell the way they centered the whole first episode around her house and that tea. And while gorgeous, it's just to me like lacking a draw. It's like, okay, I feel like I'm being told that this is the one that I have to care about, but I don't.
Exactly.
But I don't.
Right. So, they want her to be the next Lisa Vanderpump, but it's just, no.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, the views of the Second Wives Club are my own and not those of NBC Universal. But
same here.
But to me, this show just hasn't really done it for me. E! Was groundbreaking with reality TV back in the day. I mean,
heyday. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith's show.
Point blank.
You know, it was like, brilliant.
Point made, yes.
It, and everything has changed because of E! And how they did reality. I mean, everything from Howard Stern filming podcasts and having it air and having, you know, women watch this show and it being of that category. We all know Howard.
Yeah.
And then after that, Girls Next Door.
Girls Next Door, yeah.
And I guarantee you there wouldn't be a Kardashians if there wasn't that whole Playboy Girls Next Door, you know, vibe that they were going for.
That's what I'm saying. And to that exact point, E! Has to do something that no one's done. And there's this untapped, never before done style of reality that they're starting to dabble in. But they're not marketing it correctly. They're all – not all of them. What they need to be doing is they need to be breaking the fourth wall on these shows.
Hmm.
Second Wives Club, what they're doing is not that. They're having these ladies – each week someone's going to do something to get the ladies together. So who's going to throw a dinner? Someone that Katie threw a mermaid party where they put on mermaid bottoms for like 4 seconds. And then, you know, they ran around saying, oh, people are yelling and fighting, and they weren't. And I was like, this is just so manufactured to me. Like, I just can't get behind it. It's not organic. But if they could break the fourth wall, which would mean, you know, having a cast member confide in a producer or saying, you know, well, production told me this about you. What's going on? You know, like, the production told me that you're running around telling so-and-so, like, you know, like, things that instead of what we get now is, like, on The Real Housewives of Potomac, this girl said, someone came into my restaurant and said that your ex-husband is cheating on you again, because they're back together.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, who off the street walked in? You know,
who's that someone?
Yeah. So it's like, that's the stuff that, you know, nowadays anyone can agree, whether they're a fan of reality TV or whatever side of the aisle they're on. Everyone's searching for truth and real, organic, you know, black and white of the world. And so with these convoluted scenes and these, you know, set up things, people are going to start rejecting that. And E! Has a place now where they can market their upcoming show as the first reality show to shatter the fourth wall. And it doesn't have to be all about production, and we don't have to see booms in the shot and all that. I mean, it doesn't have to, I mean, that'd be cool because people would love that.
Yeah.
People, if you think about it, we know, but people don't know how, like, if you were to pull back and see what is around the scene between two people talking, the people that are involved. You've got someone on their hands and knees typing out every word, transcribing it. You've got a boom operator. You've got a sound guy. You've got a camera operator. You've got at least two camera operators. Then you've got a story producer. And then you've got a bunch of other people out on a truck somewhere. So it's like, this is so, we don't need to see all the behind the scenes, but it's, they have the opportunity to do something different and say, look, we're going to peel it back a little bit, and we're going to show that this is a production.
Yeah. People love real right now, especially with, you know, all these YouTube stars, and these are the people who are the stars, making more money than big celebrities, making more money than people doing film. And I think that you make an amazing point that that's what they need. And I thought that even years ago when I wanted to be a journalist, and I was really, I mean, like everyone my age, you know, we all love E! And we all love E! News. And watching Juliana Rancic, would love to have seen her running back and forth, not just her, hi, this is E! News. It's more, this is what I'm, you know, I'm executive producer. I'm doing this. I'm doing boom, 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 boom right before a show. Then after she's, you know, they say cut, you run, you go and write something up. You know, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
People don't want to see that glam anymore, and it's not going to work, you know. And like you said, Bravo's done it. And we all have invested in the Housewives for over at least 5 years with most of them, Potomac, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, but I just feel like you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I think that they have to really market it as that first show to do that. Now, I've been told, and I haven't seen, but the Bad Girls Club will do that every once in a while. I guess the lady, one of the girls or whatever, will you know, rant to a cameraman on the set about something that just happened. I know that they've started to do that briefly with showing the actual cameramen on The Real World. You know, so that's great, but now that's not like mainstream, you know. No. You can still, there's still an opportunity there for you to jump on that and say, this is the first show that we're just showing you. We're putting it all out there.
Kind of like
something you've never seen before.
Right. It's like, I love when they show, they keep the cameras filming during the Housewives reunions, like with LVP. Hey, Kim, could you make me a cup of tea? Like, you know, stuff like that. It's like, I don't think they would have gotten that if the cameras weren't rolling. Yeah. You know, these little moments that we just love. Yeah. And seeing, yeah, the boom. Seeing, you know, they go back and they, you know, Lisa Rinna is walking with the bunny. And Kim is, oh yeah. And Kim, can I talk to you? You know, it's very real. We love it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if it isn't, we still love it.
Right, exactly. That's what they have to do. I mean, and the Real Housewives of New Jersey, each one of those housewives is assigned a producer. And each one of those producers fights to get their housewife more airtime and a better place on the show and more money. So there's such a dynamic there of drama between who gets on these shows and where they're placed.
I love that.
Like, that is stuff, and that's what creates a lot of these arguments with the ladies, and they can't, that's why some of these arguments are such a joke, because it's like, well, what are you upset about? Where have you been the whole time? Like with someone like Eden and stuff, because like there's all these behind the scenes politics that they cannot discuss.
Right.
You know, like, what's her face? Sonia over on the Real Housewives of New York. You know, she was super upset that she wasn't invited to the Berkshires last season and she won't shut up about it. But that's because she lost out on money because she did not get paid for that episode.
Wow.
You know, she wasn't there to be a part of it. It's supposed to be a cast, you know, group trip, and she was excluded. And, you know, it's not good for her when she has a contract to fulfill and money to make for appearances. So, like, that's all stuff that she cannot say at the reunion or in her interview. But that's why it's not like she's just upset because they just invited her. It's like there's a bigger picture there. There's contracts involved.
Right, right. And
so this is stuff that I've read about. You know, who knows if it's all true, but I think it is.
I think
allegedly,
it is, too.
We'll say allegedly, but.
Sure. I mean, you know, like they're going to sue.
I mean, I'm just saying what's already out there.
It's out there. I mean? You weren't the first.
Yeah, so. Who knows? I don't know. When it comes to all that, we'll see, you know, what happens with reality shows. But let's look at a different type of show, TMZ.
What a transition. Yes. Yeah.
Jen, I know you worked at TMZ for a while. What was that experience like working for, you know, when everybody is notorious, TMZ?
Yeah. Well, what was it like? Well, that would be very, very open, because I think that there's a lot of changes as my time there went on. I mean, I can talk about how even each week went, because it was so different week to week. And
I will say TMZ is notorious for not being the most worker-friendly environment. It can be very cutthroat. I know they like to bring in folks that have just, you know, started out in the business like right away.
Yeah.
And it's quick. I think people are in and out of there quickly.
There would be days when, you know, I'd be in the newsroom in the morning and there might be three men there that leave by noon. And it's just the way it is. I heard when I left, there were 15 people that took my spot in a month. That would be 4 weeks. That's 15 people in my chair. And it's just, that's just how it is. So I was there for a while, and the reason why they like to bring in new people is because we're fresh, we're new, we all have drive, and we all love the business, know what we want. And Harvey loves that. And he loves people who are hungry, and he loves people who are in news. His first love, obviously, law, and law goes hand in hand with the news. I love that. And that's what I did in college. And I worked at NBC in Chicago as an intern, and I did everything. So leaving NBC in Chicago and graduating, I had that choice to come to LA, which it really wasn't a choice. I was doing it. I just had to make the decision, where am I going to go? Okay. TMZ is number one. They're killing it. I have watched people's careers throughout the years, and watching how everything evolves, it went from, you know, Entertainment Tonight, red carpets, to E, very serious, into very glam. And then we started getting the real stuff, the Bling Ring.
Yeah.
Back in 2006, this is something that I had followed, and I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking of it. This is what made me live. So moving out here, I go, okay, TMZ, first stop. And I got lucky. You know, I messaged everyone I could. I moved out here and knew no one. And I just hustled. And I got it. I moved out here September 1st, 2013. And I started working there in October. And I was an undercover reporter by my second week. And I was doing amazing things that I had no idea that, you know, if you asked me, I would be doing it right after graduation. Yeah. I'd say maybe in 10 years. You know, I had been checking off my bucket list day after day of all the things that I wanted to do. And it was really an incredible experience.
Wow. So you said you were an undercover reporter. What was that experience like? Like, where were you going?
Oh, I went everywhere and did everything. So I'll break it down, especially people who don't know news. The thing is that everyone has a quota. Everyone has to put up a story, let's say a certain amount of stories a day, whether you're E, Entertainment, Tonight, whatever. So TMZ is the place where everyone kind of goes for those beginning stories, just to kind of, you know, a little bird told me, well, the little bird is TMZ. And usually 99.5% of the time, it is true, and it is facts, factual. They're so quick with everything. And yeah, it is hard because they don't say allegedly, and a lot of places look down on them for a lot of different reasons. And I didn't. I felt that, no, they're innovative. They're people who want something, know how to get it, and not going to find excuses for the glamour celebrity image. They don't care if Reese Witherspoon is America's sweetheart. They will tell a story, unless it's Ellen DeGeneres, and that's the one story that you don't tell. But
really?
Oh, yeah, because it's Warner Brothers. So you'll never find a bad picture. You'll never find a bad story. That's just how it is. So,
because Warner Brothers, as TMZ, for those who don't know, and they also have on the Warner Brothers lot, Ellen is over there, and they distribute her. So,
yeah, oh yeah, and Ellen is the big moneymaker. So, God forbid, you know, it's like kind of like unwritten rule, or maybe it is a written rule, and we don't know. But yeah, it's telepictures, so it's under. I'm pretty sure Extra is under the same category, so I doubt that they'll pick up anything. So it's a really small world with entertainment news and how everything gets told. So basically, as an undercover reporter, I would be that little birdie. So let's say I would get sent to, oh, see, I don't even know. Like there's golf tournaments where Tiger Woods would go. I'm not big into sports, so these types of things, I have no idea. But I would always be with sports people. And TMZ Sports was just starting. And they, you know, wanted.
I remember when they started. I remember there was a huge push for them.
Yeah. And then they finally got on Reels, and now they're on something else, I think. Or it might have been canceled. It's one of the two. Okay. But yeah, it was huge for them because there were so many stories coming in, and then it started to go into the Ray Rice stuff and the stuff that, like, you know, people couldn't believe that you were finding on hidden cameras. And there were all these different ways to pull stories that other places were not doing. You know, they would get a phone call in the morning from, you know, let's say Melanie Griffith's assistant, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, I had lunch and, you know, Melanie said this, and someone would have to actually talk to Melanie, sit down with her, and have her admit something for E! News to do a story on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas TMZ would go, no, we're running it. Okay, we've talked to four different people in her circle. Okay, this is true. And they respond, so then that's validation.
Yeah.
So most of the stories come from legal side. So what I would do is I would go to the courthouses and look through documents, and I would have to know. Well, they didn't tell me I had to know, but I personally wanted to succeed. So I would find out people's aliases, different things. So let's say someone said, oh, Jennifer Lopez is getting sued. Go find something on her. Chances are it's not going to be under Jennifer Lopez. I would go and search and go under her name and then be like, oh, hey, I found it. And that's how we would confirm and go back and forth on that. So, for example, with the sports people, they would be doing these tournaments. I would go be sent to wherever they were staying, hang out, sit, see what I could see if I could talk to anyone, have a drink, go to the spa, do whatever I wanted that day. But But I would get the story. Maybe I would be in the dressing room with some of the girls that Tiger Woods was sleeping with. Maybe one of them would be talking to another, their mother on the phone. You never know. Mm-hmm. So they would literally put eyes and ears everywhere.
Wow. So you'd be inserted right into their worlds.
Yes.
I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is like, see, you never know who you're talking to out here. Ooh, that's,
One
giant lookout around you.
No, tell everyone.
No, I like that. That's interesting, though, because like, that's like, I think that's like, you gotta hide from stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know, to be put in the middle. And it's especially to be on assignment and in a concentrated area like that where they're all at a tournament. Like, mm-hmm. anything, you know,
yeah.
they're all, they say a lot goes down in those hotels when, at the Olympics yeah. and all those yeah. places.
Right.
So you're the eyes and ears. in these positions yeah. currently. Yes.
Well, then I would still do that, you know, after I left. And it's easy to sell those stories. It's just
yeah.
if you get pictures and video, then you can sell it. And I mean, unfortunately, that's how this industry is. And that's how entertainment news is.
Right.
So, you know, a 23-year-old girl, no one suspects. So, of course, they're going to. Send yeah. her out.
Right. Yeah. I know a girl who had was reached about a story, one of the breakups, the big divorces in the news within the last year. And she got enough money to be able to get a new computer out of it. What are the rates for things like that?
Oh, God. Oh, you know the picture of Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz sold for – see, I want to – get the right number for you, but it's over $1 million.
Wow.
For a picture. Yeah. So let's say I am the person who sold that video of Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Solange in the elevator.
Oh my God.
And hey.
Set for life.
Oh, set for life. You are yeah. set for life. And there's plenty of times where you hand off big chunks of money, and I'm talking big chunks, like you're a part of the mob, chunks of money to people in hillbilly looking cars that barely can move and they barely have teeth. And you hand them big chunks of money because they told you about someone or something. I wouldn't know because they don't do that. Like I would be the one when I was a PA to do stuff like that, but I didn't know the reasoning. Okay. Unless I was actually doing the story, then I would know the reasoning. But for me, if I was doing the story, I'm not working with selling, or I'm not like paying anyone for yeah. anything. And that was maybe a mistake that I made. I wasn't getting as much stories as a lot of other people because I wasn't paying anyone. And these people could literally just wake up in the morning and have 10 stories where I didn't know anyone and I had to go out, and I had to yeah. sit next to Justin Bieber, find Justin Bieber, sit next to him at a club, figure out how to get in that club, figure out how to do all these things, and then get those pictures and videos or get that. And you know what? Some days, if you don't get it, then, you know, you're screwed. I always yeah. got it, though. Yeah. So I would hustle.
So it sounds to me like there's a lot of pressure in that scenario.
Oh, God, yes.
Because, like, for every story, like, so I'm sure for every one story you got, there's another girl who got two.
Oh, you need at least three every day.
Okay, so yeah. So
at least three. And they didn't tell you that. Yeah, and they didn't tell me that. I think that they expected me to fail at first of putting me on the news desk because there is so many different parts of the – it's like no other newsroom. There is a lot of different facets to that room.
Yeah.
So for me, when I actually crossed that line and sat at that news desk and that was my job and title, I wasn't a court producer. I wasn't PA. I wasn't doing any of that. I was sitting at that desk. That was something that they really didn't think I would do well at. And I stopped and I took it seriously. And when they told me on a Friday, that Monday I came in telling them three huge stories of that year. So I knew that what they were doing, and I knew everything was really calculated. And also I found things really unsettling about people who were favored and people who, you know, they liked me, and they really liked me in the beginning. And then things started to kind of change, and it was like really, really weird. It was weird vibes and everything was just different. And I had to just be in my own zone, get my work done, and get the most. Because let's say I had a story that day about let's say Hugh Hefner, mm-hmm. I had a giant story. Someone would have passed my story off to another girl, and then all of a sudden she'd be up with Harvey writing the story, where I would be doing another version of that story, sitting in the desk, and no one told me that that story was passed out already, like passed down. Like, does that make sense? Like, it was just kind of like no communication, okay, and just so, cuts.
Okay, so the story that you pitched would mm-hmm. go with somebody else, yes. Harvey,
yes.
And that they wouldn't tell you that, so you'd still be working on mm-hmm. it, but for like the digital right. version or for like another version.
No, it's just so that busy work. Yeah, and wow. see if I can contribute anything extra, but it wow. would turn into that.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's just not a good way to use your staff. I mean, in general, but
exactly.
None of this surprises me. I had a roommate who worked there for like 3 days, and he was hired to chase down celebrities with like basically like a paparazzi. But he was with like another guy, and the two of them were stationed at places on the west side. That was like their territory or whatever.
Okay.
So they would go to Abbot Kinney. They would go to LAX, and you know they would get the calls from who's flying in and out of LAX. That's sure. how they knew who to grab and who to expect. And, you know, he was great at picking out faces. Like, we would go out sometimes and he'd point out people. Like, it makes me feel so oblivious because I'm not looking for it. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know who I'm looking at half the time. I can have a conversation with someone in line at the grocery store, and it could be, you know, like Miley Cyrus's mom or something.
Happened to me so many times.
Yeah. So I have no idea who anyone is. I mean, yeah. I do and I don't, but it's just because I'm not looking for it and I'm always in a mess. So I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to get through the day. But he would go out there, and it was just like, you know, he even mentioned like, yeah, you have to meet a quota. You have to have so much. And if, say you see someone like, I'm trying to think of someone completely random, like Damon John on Shark Tank. Okay. Like, you have to ask him questions. You can't let him walk by just because he's not in the news. Like, there was something they had to ask him about. So it was either like a response to another story or like, you know, you had to be up on all the latest on everything. Yes. So then you'd have to just see, you know, see watching this interview with Trump later and what is his thoughts on the election. So it's like, you have to be so quick, and so on top of it.
The funny thing is that it kind of ruined my joy for it.
I bet.
I loved it for so many years, and I was so ahead of everything that I couldn't turn on E! News. It would make me upset because I would watch E! Or wherever, and I'd be like, that was 5 days ago. Why are we talking about that?
Yeah.
Or, oh my gosh, there was so much more to that story. Why didn't they include this quote, this? I would end up judging and getting angry. And then I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Yeah. Like, it just definitely changed. It started to change who I was too, and I became very cynical because of mm-hmm. things, certain things like that.
Yeah.
With those cameramen, they get paid very well. They get paid very, very well. But all of those people, they age really quickly, and those hours are awful. And, you know, everything that they do, some of them just end up saying, screw this. Like, this is unreal. Also a big thing is the way paparazzi works here in the city is that I said before that everyone copies TMZ. Well, that is to an extreme with the cameramen. So paparazzi's out there. No other place has their own paparazzi. Usually these paparazzi's are independents and they go around, take pictures, and then they sell it to any outlet. In the morning, I would wake up to a file and it would be, you know, this is what happened last night. Here's Paris. Here's this. Here's that. And, when you knew that, then you knew that there was a direction of what you were going to do that day with a story or whatever. So if you could use it for a story because you need so much, then you can buy it. So TMZ, in return, they have their own people. So they go out and know everything. So now these independents, they follow the TMZ people. Mm-hmm. So they might not even know who they are. Like, TMZ will know, but the other people will have no idea, and they'll start snapping. And I can't even tell you how many times, because I'm very close friends with a lot of the cameramen there, I'm walking and they just mess with me. Like, if I go walk into Nice Guy and they'll yell at me, or they'll be like, hey, Jen, and they'll start snapping because it's funny.
Yeah.
Or like hide behind something and jump out and scare me. I get the footage I bet they have is disgusting. We don't even go there. But then all the other people will start snapping. And I'm like, oh, geez. And I note that's every time. Yeah. Every single time. And you can watch even Catch. Like Catch in L.A. is a huge, huge restaurant. And I mean, you can stand out there. I was there for 10 minutes. I saw Mariah Carey. I saw Rita Ora. I saw like at least three people. I can't even remember.
Yeah,
but
that's another, yeah. Catch and Craig's are like the place to.
That's right the now. Place to go. Yes. So you see the TMZ guys and then you see all the others follow. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting that it's, they're the king.
Wow.
And all of it. And you can't fight against it.
No. Too big.
Too big. The one thing that could go down, I mean, if they don't hire more people because that are quality, just because, and this is my opinion from I've massive amounts of friends there and people in and out, like you said, you know, 1 year someone could be there and one day someone could be there and then gone the next. So a lot of friends have came in after me. And, you know, people say certain things like, oh, this is how it is. You're right. Or sometimes, you know, like the other, I don't know if I could say, but I might just do it anyway. Like a few months ago, they kind of lost everyone. They lost a lot of people. And I mean, heads. They lost a lot of people. Big Kardashian people. Chris would call like every morning. You know, it would be one of those things.
Big folks who had connections to large sources.
Oh, huge. But they still have their connections and their, they're people. There's one cop there who definitely is, he's amazing and he gets all the cop stuff. So they have that at least, and they have the lawyers and in the law. So if you have those two and then you have the rap stories coming in, then you're usually set. But they lost a lot of their A-list connections, things like that. So so we'll see where the industry is going. But I see a lot of change coming up.
Yeah. So you're no longer there. What are your goals at this point? Because it sounds like they've changed. So
yeah.
Starting there.
Well, entertainment news has changed in a whole. So when I left, I was like, oh, I can do this. I could do that. I could do red carpets. And I did. And I freelanced and I sold stories. And up until, you know, like 2 months ago, I think, like in March, kind of wasn't able to do it anymore just because things really have changed and not just changed a little bit, but just to an unbelievable level. So my whole life I had wanted to be entertainment journalists and be in this world and do different things. So I kind of have to reevaluate the entire industry. And for me, I'm looking more into film. I'm looking more into development. I love picking apart scripts. I've been writing. I have a lot. I feel like I have just everything in my hands and I could do anything with it. So I just now have to be picky and focused.
Yeah.
So my goal, I mean, after that has, I mean, I've learned a lot and been through a lot since then. And I think that moving forward is just to find what I love and happy with and happy with being in, if that makes sense. Because
right, I got that.
I mean, at 23, I had been doing things that I never thought that I would. And I learned very quickly. You know, I learned fast what I wanted and what I didn't. Right. So I'm glad that I know what I don't want.
Yeah. It sounds like a boot camp style job for sure.
I slept at work. I mean, they're 24 hours. I couldn't sleep. There were some times where I wouldn't know what day or time it was, but I would just know by looking at the pages of the screen, of the TMZ screen. It's like, oh, that's yesterday. Okay. So I like knew, I didn't have to look at times or days. Like I was just in my zone.
Yeah.
And I ate, slept, and breathed everything where I lost my relationships. I lost friendships. I lost family. I lost my boyfriend that I had for 7 years. You know, it was just very, very difficult to go through all that. But I wanted to fight for what I loved and fight for this dream that I had. But this dream isn't really real.
Yeah. Wow. That's a little disheartening, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? It's okay. Because now I'm able to mentor girls who have this idea of what certain things are. And that's fine. Go for it. Go and do whatever you'd like. But I want to tell you the facts. If you want to, you know, and ask me, then I will tell you.
Jen, you're a Hollywood hustler. You belong on Grant's Rants. I love it, though. No, I mean, it's true. It's unfortunate that you had to go through so much pain to learn, you know, the reality of things. But, I mean, there's not a person who's been on the show. Well, maybe a few. But there are a few. I mean, like, I feel like everyone has had to – I know for me, I'll speak for myself more than anybody else. But, yeah, I mean, I've had so many moments of realization and disappointment and the bottom falling out and, like, wow, this is really – not at all how it appears. And I've also had moments where the business has changed for me incredibly. Like when I started out with soaps, I mean, I was working on them and then 1, 2, 3, 4 soaps got canceled in that time. And so I had to figure it out and recalibrate. So I know how that is when you know, you're all in on something and then it changes and the dedication that it takes. So yeah, no, I think you're a great conversationalist with the Grant's Rants second portion.
Great. We can rant all day about this.
Yeah, there's a lot to say, but this show is running long and I thank you for your time.
Of course it is.
But yeah, no, I think we're going to wrap things up here, but okay. I appreciate coming in and being so candid. I mean, my God, I think you've opened up a lot of people's eyes to what it's like to work in news and in entertainment news, which is wild.
Yeah, wild. I'm glad I got to answer your questions and, you know, hopefully it helps someone out there who wants it and knows the realizations of it. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
And I love the new setup you got.
Oh, yes. Me too. Thank you. Yes. So where can we keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Leone TV. And then I'm on Instagram if you want to follow me there. It's J.LeonTV. So
good.
I combined it. Don't need to do the whole Jennifer Leone. It's just J. Leone.
Well, we'll have to talk more. I mean, you know, we'll have you back on. When they get going with Beverly Hills Housewives, there's always rumors from the set and stuff that we could talk about. So,
ooh, I'll be friends with all those PAs and we can chat.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in and thank you for listening and supporting the Rants. There'll be a lot more Rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.